in the studio by Chris Booth, who is the director of CHAPS. Chris is here once a month and talking about all aspects of men's physical health, mental health and well-being. Chris is here to talk today about cardiovascular disease. Men do tend to have this thing of, well, I'm not going to go to the doctors, I've got pain in the chest or pain in the leg, and they're like, no, I'm fine, I'll be fine.
That's right, we're not very good at seeing doctors.
No.
Oh, yeah, yep. I mean, I'm a man, I'm no different, and I will get things. And in fact, doctors are actually notorious for sitting on problems and not going to their colleagues and getting sorted out.
Yeah.
Well, cardiovascular does mean heart and all of the blood vessels. And most of the things that go wrong in a serious sense are heart disease due to the coronary arteries, which supply oxygen to the heart muscle. The heart is just a rather clever specialized muscle that beats all the time.
Yeah.
Well, I hope it keeps beating for the next hour or so.
Me too.
And if these arteries block up, when the heart comes under stress through exercise usually, or sometimes mental stress, and starts beating faster, the oxygen supply is inadequate because there's not enough blood circulating around this muscle, and then one has a heart attack. Hopefully you get warning signs before, called angina, which is a cramp-like feeling across the chest. And those are the warning signs. And if you start getting angina as a chest pain, described as a crushing or vice-like pain, then you need to go to your doctor and get it sorted out. And now I'm happy to say that there are lots of really quite simple, small procedures that can be done to open up these blood vessels. In the old days, the only treatment really was to do coronary artery grafting, where you take a vein from the leg, open up the chest, big incision down the sternum, stop the heart beating, and plumb in these new blood vessels to bypass the blockage.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a major operation. But now you can go in with minimally invasive techniques and either open up these blockages or put little what are called stents in, which are like little coiled springs that you pop them into place, and they expand and open up the blockage.
Yep.
But if you've had a heart attack and some of the muscle in the heart has died as a result of it, then you're much more prone to heart failure, and that's going to limit your ability to exercise.
Yeah.
Other problems with the heart that commonly lead to complications are problems with the rhythm of the heart, atrial fibrillation. This is when the heart, instead of beating regularly, starts beating with a very, very irregular pattern. As a result of this, clot can build up in the heart, and clots can then get fired off around the rest of the circulation. And if one of these clots goes up to the brain, then the result is a stroke. And there's about 40,000 stroke deaths a year and about 70,000 heart attack deaths a year. So it's a major problem.
With heart attacks, that can affect any age group. It isn't, because we tend to think sometimes, I think, that heart attacks only happen to people, you know, maybe 60s or 70s, 80s, that sort of age group, but it can affect people a lot younger.
Especially if you've got a family history of it.
Yeah.
That's certainly true. With our Western diet and Western lifestyle, if you look at blood vessels that young men who've died in road accidents and so on, you'll very often see plaques of atheroma or atherosclerosis, i.e. hardening of the arteries. You see these plaques forming at a very young age, and of course they can go on worsening, and this is the sort of thing that causes sudden death in men's 40s and 50s. You know, they drop down dead on the squash court, for instance.
Yeah. And how does stress
alters all sorts of levels of hormones and so on in the body.
Yeah.
And stress, smoking contracts blood vessels. Stress and smoking frequently go together.
Yeah.
So if you're persistently contracting your blood vessels through the nicotine and stress, again, the heart just doesn't get enough oxygen.
What are the other signs to look for?
Cardiovascular disease, lack of energy, breathlessness with exercise, and then, as I say, chest pains, or sometimes you can notice irregular beating of the heart, palpitations, in other words. If the blood pressure is high, then headaches, dizzy spells. If you've got atrial fibrillation and you're firing off small clots, can lead to transient ischemic attacks where you feel dizzy, faint, and then come round quite quickly and may have a sort of blank space for an hour or two and then sort of recover.
Mm.
But again, this is typical sign of either narrowing of blood vessels leading to the brain,
yep,
or little clots coming off.
What are the other risk factors for cardiovascular disease?
Family history is important.
Mm.
But where you're born makes a difference. Ethnicity, South Asian people and African, Caribbean, problems that are related to race, really. Anybody from the Indian subcontinent, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, India, they're particularly prone to heart disease.
Is that because of diet or...?
It's partly dietary.
Yeah.
And then it's exacerbated by, when they come here, for instance, it's exacerbated by actually a better lifestyle and a richer lifestyle, shall we say. So they are very prone to heart disease linked to obesity and diabetes and high blood pressure. These all these things link up. Africans, African Caribbean men in particular tend to have high blood pressure, for instance. And high blood pressure due to hardening of the arteries is a major risk factor. So it's important to know who your parents are and where they come from. Then, of course, we touched on lifestyle. Smoking, of course, is still a huge problem. I think it's about one in six men smoke. And smoking just raises the risk of dying from all sorts of things. Heart disease, of course, and cancer are the two classic examples. And a whole range of cancers are related to smoking. If you drink too much, it'll put the risk of heart disease up and, again, cancers up. Diet, of course, we know that if you're on the wrong sort of diet, then your cholesterol levels go up. Cholesterol is what largely forms these plaques that block blood vessels. Two sorts of cholesterol. There's good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. So the low-density lipoproteins, they're the ones that clog up the blood vessels. The high-density lipoproteins actually remove these fats, but if you get the ratio wrong, then you're more at risk and need to go on to statins. And it's a simple blood test that will check that for you. You can lower your cholesterol level by exercise to a degree, maybe by about 10%. But most of the cholesterol is what we actually manufacture ourselves. So there's a limit to what you can do with exercise, and similarly a limit with diet. What else? Well, work and stress, of course, are important. But where you're born is very important. All of these problems with heart disease and many other problems, if you come from one of the areas of socioeconomic depression, then you're going to be much more at risk. So there's, for instance, I mean, there's about a 10-year gap in life expectancy between Jaywick in Clacton, for instance, and Frinton. It's only five. Frinton's only 5 miles away, but people in Frinton are living well into their 80s, and the average chap in Jaywick is dying in his early 70s. So huge differences with socioeconomic factors, and you can see these on maps of England for heart disease, for instance. Much higher risk of heart attacks and strokes along northwest England and in the northeast, and we know that these are the old industrial areas which have gone into socioeconomic depression. And then, of course, there are the medical factors that you should be aware of, and I think part of our job is to make men aware of these. For instance, the link between a common men's problem, impotence, not able to get sufficient erections, then that's strongly linked to underlying heart disease, which is logical if you think about it, because the arteries that go down a man's willy, as we professionals call it, they're only 1 to 2 millimetres in diameter, so they're going to clog up quicker than the coronary arteries, which are 3 to 5 millimetres in diameter. So if your willy ain't working, then get a heart check done. I would say that's basic. And GPs have got to recognise this as well. And I think it's important that when men go to the doctor, as we said, they're not very good at going to the doctor in the first place.
Yeah.
But when they do go to the doctor, I think the doctor needs to, as it were, widen his or her vision and just check that one or two other simple things are okay. I think the first thing to do is you have to sort out what the risk is. And you can do that by going along and having one of the standard NHS health checks.
Yeah.
And if you do that, then the doctor will run through a questionnaire. And these are checks that are available for men aged 40 to 74. And only about half of them are taken up. You'll get your blood pressure checked, cholesterol checked, blood sugar level checked. And the doctor will go through a checklist making sure that you've not had a stroke in the past, that you're not getting angina attacks or had a heart attack. You'll check your family history. It's very easy to check for peripheral arterial disease. We've got pulses that are that you can feel easily in all sorts of areas, all the way down the legs as well as in the wrist. Check to make sure that you haven't got kidney disease and that your heart rate is regular. So all of those are taken into account. And if and then you can actually feed all of this information into a computer, which the doctor has, and this is something called Q-Risk, and the Q-Risk is done and will actually give you what the risk of having a heart attack is over the next 10 years.
Yep.
And it's certainly true to say that as men get older and into their 60s, then I think a lot more men are becoming conscious of health issues.
Mm.
And are wanting to get things checked, whereas the younger ones probably aren't.
Yeah.
So I think we have to learn how to get to the younger ones. And I think probably we need more initiatives that are working through workplace health. Because, you know, when guys are at work, you've got them.
Yeah.
And then you can address them. So I think there's a big potential there for workplace health and improving things. And the younger we do it, the better. As I said, men start putting cholesterol, and women, but men are the worst, start sticking cholesterol plaques down in their arteries from a very young age.
Mm.
And healthy lifestyle, we need to get this as soon as possible because we know there's an epidemic of obesity in school children.
Yeah.
All those school sports fields that have disappeared from the sort of 70s onwards, they all need to be put back.
Mm. So thank you very much for coming in today. I hope you have a lovely Christmas and a good New Year.
Sure, I will.
And
thank
you'll be
you.
Back in January. So we've been talking today about cardiovascular disease with Chris Booth, who is the director of CHAPS. If you want to find out more about CHAPS and all the great things they do, just need to go to the website, which is
www.chaps.uk.com.
Yeah, wasn't a quiz there. I've had people I've said to say your website and they've just gone, I don't know what it is.
You go blank.
Yes.
You know, suddenly, it's like saying, tell us a joke. But what men have got to remember, they've got to know their numbers.
Mm.
They need to know their blood pressure. They need to know their waist measurement. They need to know their weight, their cholesterol, blood sugar level. And I think they should know their PSA, which of course is the prostate cancer test.
Mm.
If you do know these numbers, I mean, if you reduce your weight, for instance, by 10 kilograms, you'll get about a 5 to 10% drop in your blood pressure, 10% drop in your cholesterol level, 30% drop in your triglyceride level, that's another fat, but a 50% drop in your risk of premature death just from a 10 kilogram weight loss.
I'm trying my best, Chris. Lost a bit is very hard work. That's why I put the chocolates over that side of the desk. Thanks so much. You have a lovely Christmas.
Thank you.
We'll see you in the new year.
It's all good.